He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Hello, everyone out there in SNU land. This is He Said, She Said, October 2017. It's October. Guess what? I walked to the gym yesterday, and I had to wear gloves.
Yeah, it's pretty chilly, getting chilly where we're in Canada, you know.
Yeah, and as a Canadian, I'm a wimp because when the temperature drops below 10 degrees, which is 50 Fahrenheit for all you Americans, I just like become really ultra sensitive. I just can't cope, man. So I got to bundle up and dress up for it. But that's okay because when I'm doing that and we go through this process every year because we got seasons here in Vernon, I look forward to the spring. And so what a great summer that was. You have a good summer, Trace?
I sure did. I had a wonderful summer. Did things that I haven't normally done while I've been here in the Okanagan because usually it was too hot and I was just too hot to go out in the heat and hike. But, you know, I got out there this year and it was awesome. It was really fun. I'm sad it's over.
Comes and goes like everything else. Huh? The world keeps turning and here we are. So what's cooking?
What's cooking is spinach and egg bake. Now, I've done this before, and what I want to do is kind of share some different ideas about this spinach and egg bake. This is a really great meal, brunch, dinner, breakfast, whatever you want, snack, hot, cold, warm, however you want to have this, but it's really great because usually we have eggs in the fridge. And like I said, it's a great brunch or dinner and it can be eaten with or without any added proteins. But it's really important that you buy the highest quality of egg that you can find. The health of the chicken and its diet directly affects the nutritional content of the egg produced. So you want to look for a free-range, free-run, drug-free, omega-3 or vitamin E-fed eggs. Or farm. Get them right directly from the farm. Farm to table is the best. So the spinach and egg bake, but you can also use anything green. You can use kale, Swiss chard, spinach, or broccoli, which has an excellent source of chlorophyll. And the chlorophyll is that powerful substance of magnesium and is regarded in the natural health industry as an incredible healing substance. So there we go. So we've got your egg, we've got your greens. Now, if you want to add, you don't have to add any extra protein to this, but if you like, what would go well would be shrimps, prawns, a whitefish, salmon, chicken, or shredded turkey. So you can add these if you like. If you've got these in the fridge, go for it.
What about this sardines?
Sardines or herring. Yes, absolutely, Corey. That's a different recipe, but we can also add that one in too. Whatever you like. This will make it heartier. You can add nutmeg, which gives it kind of a nice, warm, friendly flavor, and chilies to give it more robustness. And the reason that I do the club soda, because the club soda gives it a fluffy texture. You can half this recipe or quarter this recipe, but I use like a dozen eggs when I do this. I make a big batch of it. We use perhaps 6 whole eggs and 6 egg whites with the club soda, and the egg whites makes it super fluffy. That's what you want to get. So, you know, you can, yeah, leftovers is wonderful with this dish because I like it cold. And you can take it in your lunch to work. So you want to preheat your oven to 350, and it makes 6 to 8 servings, depending how big your servings are. So as I said, you can use a dozen eggs. You can use 6 whole eggs, 6 egg whites if you like. You can use spinach. You can use kale, Swiss chard, or broccoli. And what you want to do is, with onions and garlic, you saute the onions and garlic in the olive oil. You can add the Swiss chard, spinach, or broccoli, and saute it all up nice. Then what you want to do is you want to get your eggs and fold them all together. Grease a big baking dish and add eggs. You can add some sliced up tomatoes. You can add some feta cheese. You can add all your spices in. Now get creative. Add whatever spices that you like. When your onion and your garlic and your greens are done, they'll be all shriveled. What you want to do is let them cool before you add it to the egg mixture. Just a few minutes. Let it cool down. Add it all together. You've got your feta cheese. Then when it's all put in together, so it's all evenly spread out, if you want to add extra shrimp, prawns, whitefish, salmon, turkey, whatever you decide, sardines, put it all in, sprinkle it all around so it's all added. The distribution is even. You can top with Parmesan cheese if you like. Okay. And anything else that you want to add into it. I've just given you an idea. So add whatever you like into it. Let it bake at about 350 for about 45 minutes. You will smell it. Then it's ready to go. Let it sit for a bit. Now it's going to be super fluffy when you bring it out of the oven, but then it kind of shrinks down a little bit. But it is such a wonderful dish. You can add a green salad to it if you like. And if you're doing it for breakfast, you can add it like a fruit salad with that. So just try it out. Get creative. And you like this dish. You always love it. And everybody else who's had it loves it too, right, Corey?
Yes. So I was always wondering what you get up to in the kitchen when I'm in the front room watching Star Trek. So that's what you're doing, huh? Whipping this kind of stuff up?
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, exactly. So the key is get some eggs, good quality eggs, get some greens in there, and yes or no to the extra protein. So, you know, really the sky's the limit. You come up with your own creations. When I first started making this dish, I used just spinach, and salmon, a tin of wild salmon. And then I started there. And then I just added and created more and more. And then, you know, then the sky's the limit. It really is. You can get very creative. It's really one of those good clean out the fridge kind of meals, you know?
Yeah, I find that combined with a nice salad, it's very satisfying and it's a delicious meal. And it's got a lot of good stuff in it, no doubt.
And you always like it when I add lots of chilies and make it spicy. So that's always a good thing. It's unexpected.
Absolutely.
An unexpected spicy is always nice.
Yeah, you betcha.
So there you have it.
Yeah, cool.
So the recipe is on the website. As I said, I've changed up a few things. I should revamp it. But, you know, that gives you the basic gist of the recipe is on the website. And then just get creative. That's what you want to do. Get creative with your recipes.
Well, you certainly do, because every time you whip something up, it always comes out just a little bit different. But it's always... Awesome.
Always different. Yeah, you better believe it.
Good stuff. Okay, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Udo Erasmus. Udo earned his Bachelor of Science from the University of British Columbia, followed by graduate studies in biochemistry and genetics. He is the author of Fats and Oils, Fats That Heal and Fats That Kill, Choosing the Right Fats and Omega-3 Cuisine. His latest release is called The Book on Total Sexy Health. To read more about Udo's bio, please see our website. Gee, it was really good to hear Udo's voice. I haven't seen or chatted with him for quite a few years, as you had mentioned as well, right?
I haven't seen or talked to him, but I've been following his work. And of course, he's been traveling worldwide and kind of out of reach, but he's still on the trail and doing what pioneers do best, which is promote the message of wellness and health through, in this case, utilizing the essential fats, which are enormously important.
Exactly. And he said health is a natural state. His lifelong obsession is to be in a natural state, which is good health. He says loving what you do is a natural state. And if you don't love what you do, it's unhealthy. Very interesting, Udo. You can program yourself to enjoy work such as chores, as his mother said. You know, you're going to have to do the chores anyway, so learn to love them. And he says, whatever you need to do, train yourself to like what you do, because you've got to get the job done. It's like doing dishes or vacuuming or, you know, changing the bed or doing laundry, whatever it is, those menial but in very important things, mind you, chores are very important. You need to maintain. It's the maintenance that goes into looking after a home, but the maintenance of looking after your own home, your own health, that a lot of people do not want to do. And it's that day in, day out work that you need to do that makes it or breaks that natural state, right?
Yeah, because our society is all about pleasure and enjoying everything you do, people refrain from doing what is necessary. It's like the grunt work in athletics. You know, we all want to just go and do it and perform magnificently, but that's not how it works. Without the grunt work, you can't achieve the heights of performance that impress people. So your house that you refer to, the physical body that we live in, has to be maintained. And it's like a car or your house that you live in, literally, or whatever, right? Same kind of idea. You just have to embrace it and get around it and figure a way how to make it part of your management package in your brain. and then enjoy it, like you said.
Right, exactly. So he's all about the oils. And he says that if you want to keep health in mind, 1 tablespoon per 50 pounds of body weight is the best route to take, you know, for just for anybody. So even a little kid, like let's say Veronica, she's how much, 30 pounds maybe would she be? So that might be 3/4 tablespoon of oil that she would take. So 1 tablespoon, that's his baseline, right? 1 tablespoon per 50 pounds of body weight of the rich omega oils. And he says about the eating carbs. Well, I'm talking, I guess, refined carbohydrates. You know, if you don't burn them, you're going to wear them. So it's really important, as we know that, but it's really good to hear that. You know, if you have to burn them, or we always say you have to earn your carbs. That's what we say. So earn and burn, but you have to earn it. So if you did a big sprint, or you did a long hike, or you did something where you really burnt those calories, then you can enjoy some carbs, right? But if you don't do, if you sit around the couch and be a couch potato after eating a whole bunch of carbs, then you're going to wear them, right?
Yes. But ultimately what Udo was trying to impress upon us was that fats, when chosen correctly and selectively, are a better source of fuel than those carbohydrates. So once you get into this idea that the human body evolved with no carbs or very little carbs, and meat and the fat in the meat, you know, hunting, gathering, right? So that kind of model, you have a sort of a native aboriginal who really wants to get more fat as a fuel source. Pemmican, for example, had buffalo protein and meat in it, but it was mostly fat, like 85% fat. So we were told for so long that fat was bad, especially saturated fat, and that was all wrong. That's been disproven now. And so we're going back to what our industry, the natural health industry, has been saying for a long time: nice, clean, whole food. But even that industry got it wrong too. We were persuaded to think that whole carbs, like lentils or beans or yams, still those are okay. But if we reduce those and increase our intake of clean living fats, we can actually motor more efficiently and stay leaner longer in the long run.
That's right. Absolutely. And he believes that aging is living outside of your natural state. Aging, living outside of nature and being natural. So it also has to do with the love, the peace, contentment. If you have all the good things, then you'll age slower. We are going to age. There's no doubt about that. But living in line with nature, you will live longer and have the best of health. So it's about getting natural. Like you said, you know, live clean, eat clean, move your body. Don't just sit. You've got to keep active all the time. And even if you get injured, per se, then, you know, still have active rest. Just go for a walk, right? And if you can't walk that far, but you just maybe walk around the block, then start walking and use a little bit of a grade, right? Go up a hill a little bit, then plateau. But, you know, you've just got to keep moving and always challenge yourself. Not too hard, though. You know, but not too hard if you're not well, like if you're recovering, but you've got to keep moving. It's very, very important. So that was a wonderful interview. And I really want to get his book, Total Sexy Health.
For sure. Yeah, you can find the link for that on our website. Just go to SNU and scroll down the drop down menu and look for special expert guests. And then you'll find his link, which is one of the most recent, and you just click that link and go to his webpage, because we have a webpage for every guest and their information and links and all of that. So yeah, this is all about education and spreading the news, and also taking in from a wide variety, an eclectic resource of information, so that you don't just get one perspective. You blend in many, many, many perspectives to ultimately come up with your own recipe for health.
Absolutely. And Udo's last comment was, fall in love with your life. Every day, live sustainably. Fall in love with your life. You couldn't have said it any better, right? Thank you, Udo.
Right on. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's doing a great job. All right. So what's your hot topic?
Hot topic is, let's get ready for Halloween. Halloween has become a major holiday in the Western world. they generate billions of dollars in candy and costumes and decorations and pumpkin sales and corn mazes. It's absolutely phenomenal how this has become a major money-making holiday. But it's fun. If you're into it, it can be a lot of fun. So there's a lot of excitement around this, especially, well, even for adults, not just the children, but the adults like to party on Halloween too. So I think it's really important that we build up our immune system before the Halloween comes, because a lot of kids get sick the week after Halloween. It's not just eating the sugar before, like on Halloween night. There's a lot of candies before Halloween, plus the excitement of getting ready for Halloween can lower the immune system, all that cortisol. The kids are so excited. Even the adults are excited too. So this goes on for a couple of weeks, the Halloween season, with sugar, the alcohol, the late nights, the anticipation of it. I think it's really important to prepare for this. So the pre-party potion, right? Just make sure that you stay well hydrated, drink lots of water. Take that vitamin C, take your vitamins, eat your protein shakes, get lots of sleep. Don't let it get the better of you, right?
Yeah, you got to limit the stuff with the kids. I mean, we take the kids out. It's part of our culture, okay? So what are you going to do, hibernate, lock all the doors and turn the lights out? I mean, some people actually do that. And that's unfortunate in some ways. It's good in other ways because they don't let their kids have access to all the junk and garbage. But what Ruby does with the grandkids is like let them go out and have fun and experience it, and they get their haul, and then they kind of like go for it, go crazy on it, and then doesn't she just like pitch it all out and get rid of it?
Well, I think Granny did that.
Yeah, Granny did that, right? Because yeah, if you keep it around, they will continue to eat it and snack on it. It ruins their teeth, it'll rot their bones and just depress their immune system. So, you know, we have the capacity, especially when we're young, to do all kinds of things that are on the extreme. And if we just did them in that one moment or that one time, but it's doing that all the time. So from our point of view, eating sugar and refined carbohydrates is very extreme. And so if you make a steady diet of the extreme, you're going to ruin yourself. And it's just a matter of time. And this stuff's all accumulative. It doesn't happen overnight.
Well, I'm really grateful that the Halloween candy doesn't taste like it used to. The formulas have changed, so hallelujah for that. Nothing tastes like it used to. So, you know, just limit it if you can, and just try to not buy it before Halloween, the Halloween candy. Buy it on Halloween. That's a key, because if you buy it beforehand, because it's in the stores, like starting in October, the beginning of October, people buy it, and then what do? Then you start eating it. Right? So don't buy it. Halloween is Halloween. Halloween is not the day before or 2 days before or after. It's on that night. It's just, if you can just think of Halloween being that one day and then go for it on that one day, and then it's over and done with. That's the way we've always done it. That's the way we raised our daughter Ruby. And she was happy with that. That was okay. She got to have her candy on that day and party and have fun. And that was it. It was over. So, you know, you might not want to do it that way. But the thing is, make sure that you build up the immune system of yourself and your children, because it's a pretty exciting time for kids. It really is. And
yeah,
adults,
you know,
too.
When I look at Christmas versus Halloween, Halloween absolutely is preferable to me as an experience. And comparing the two, you know, like right now in TCM, they've got all the Dracula and Frankenstein and all those kind of scary movies, right? Now, in Christmas, they come up with all these movies that equate to Christmas time, right? So they both come up with their movies, and then they both promote the existence of ghouls and goblins, right? Both of them. But nobody who is engaged with Halloween actually believes in the ghouls and goblins or the Draculas and Frankensteins. It's all made up. Well, when you go to the other side and do the Christmas thing, everyone or a high percentage of people actually believes in the stuff that they're saying. So it's kind of interesting if you observe the two and then make up your mind based on evidence and science and rationality and reason. So Halloween is our birthday month, dear. What's better than that? It's just such a good time.
Yeah, it is. I'm not really feeling it this year. I feel it for the kids, but being born on Halloween, as I was, and hearing every joke that there possibly is, and plus being in the dance business, I get dressed up all the time. So Daisy wants to have a party for you, and she wants to have, you know, get dressed up. And I'm going, oh, I don't really feel like getting dressed up. But maybe as I get closer to Halloween and on that day, then I'll feel it. Because, you know, not just the kids like to get dressed up, the adults like to get dressed up too. I'm surprised by how it's gotten so popular, by the adults getting dressed up. And there's a myriad of different costumes that you can do. So I'm going to go as an old disco queen. Really old, old, old disco queen. And it ain't going to be pretty either, because I don't think Halloween is pretty.
Well, but, I got a whole theory about what people reflect when they get dressed up. And often it's maybe an unconscious or subconscious reflection of who they really are when they dress up, if they're really into what they are dressing up as, right? So yeah. I love to see all the costumes, and the more gruesome and bizarre and weird. And of course, there's a lot of laughter at Halloween. We've always been known to have these wonderful Halloween parties where people show up and pulling pranks on each other and just laughing and having a good time and just letting it all hang out, right?
Yeah, it's always been so much fun. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and we'll let you know how it goes.
Right on. So happy Halloween, everyone. And with that in mind, what's your final word?
My final word is by Steve Almond. Nothing on earth so beautiful as the final hall on Halloween night.